grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That I say. We learned a lot tonight. We learned an awful lot tonight. In the gospel lesson tonight, at the end of it, this reading here, beginning of verse 12, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." Now, these aren't miracles that we're going to do. We're going to be doing good things in large quantities. That's what he means here. Then he says in verse 13, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it," he says. Whoever believes, that's saying you got faith. Faith we receive from the Holy Spirit. And he says, whatever you ask, this is all that Scripture says. It says, Jesus says, whatever you ask, you can't pinpoint one individual thing. It's whatever you ask. And then he says, he will do it. Now, it's important for us to understand something here. It's not our prayers. It's not you and me. It's not us that's doing anything. It's the divine power of God, of Jesus Christ, that does it. If you ever write in your Bible, underneath this verse 14, he says, "If you ask me anything in my name," underline, "I will do it." That's what we learned tonight. Now consider the promises, all these promises that Jesus is making here in John. By faith we're going to do wondrous things, and again, we're going to be doing good things in large quantity. Like a lot of little things, but a whole bunch of them. And we're going to be marveled at how many good things that we can do. And he will answer our prayers in ways which will glorify God. That's important. That's something you got to remember. Because whatever you ask for, go ahead and ask. So, but whatever you ask for, the answer that God is going to give you is to glorify him. That's something we need to learn. I'm actually not a proponent of a prayer chain. It's good that we pray. It's good that many people pray. It's good that each and every single one of us prays a couple of times throughout the day. When we wake up, before we eat, when we're thinking about somebody that we love or somebody that we know that is having a hard time, before we have our meal in the evening at the end of the day, you made it home safe from work, before you go to bed at night, there's all kinds of times throughout the day when we can pray. But it's not us that's doing anything. It's God doing the action. As a prime example of this, y'all probably see this. This is a different version of it, but you've all probably seen one of these. It's called the Small Catechism. And in the Small Catechism, we study the Lord's Prayer. Another prayer that Jesus has taught us to pray, right? Well, here, at the end of, well, in verse 13 and 14 of the first chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus is telling us more about prayer. Specifically, these petitions where we're asking for something for us. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, it's like it's structured in a way that we should pray. We should address who we're praying to. God loves that. God wants to be the one God to whom we pray. So we address him. God, our Father. So it's a loving thing that we have going on there with our Heavenly Father. So we address him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, not mine, your will, Lord. That's what we're praying when we say that prayer. And then we get into the parts where we're asking for something for us. Give us this day our daily bread. Why do we need daily bread? And the Catechism tells us that our daily bread is food, water, shelter, shoes, clothing, house, home, everything that we need to support this body and life. That's our daily bread, everything that we have. Why does Jesus tell us to pray for our daily bread? So we're strong enough, so we're capable enough, so we have the wherewithal, the strength, the energy, the clear mind, and the ability to work for him, to serve God. That's why he wants us to have our daily bread, so that we can adequately and appropriately serve him. Then, we even get bolder in this Lord's Prayer. We say, forgive us our trespasses. Because we know we're sinners. You may not know this, but at meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous, which has been going on since the 1940s, AA has been around here in the United States. Every meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous ends with the saying of the Lord's Prayer. Let me tell you, I have been in Alcoholics Anonymous meetings from coast to coast. And I've been to probably the weirdest meeting was these surfers in Huntington Beach, California. A bunch of surfer dudes and things, you know, they all gathered at the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. And they sing a happy birthday to everybody, and they sing it really weird, nobody's singing the same tune. And some of the craziest stories you ever want to hear somebody confessing or witnessing about how they got sober. But then they all stand up and we all hold hands. We all say the Lord's Prayer. So we ask, Lord, to forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our sins. Because we know that we're sinners. And why do we ask him to forgive us our sins? Why? It's always a question we've got to ask. Why? So we go to heaven. God doesn't let sinners into heaven. You have to be pure. You have to be clean. You have to be perfect to get into heaven. So we keep asking him to forgive us our sins. Though if we remember our baptism, the word words that were just spoken in the absolution to you tonight. In the stead by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. That's God Himself forgiving you tonight. Which makes you pure, holy, righteous, sanctified, redeemed by the Lord Himself, worthy of heaven. But then we've got the heart part here. We say in the Lord's Prayer right after that, after we ask Him to forgive us our sins. Then we say, and as we forgive those who trespass against us, that part where we have to forgive our neighbor. That's hard. Isn't it? So we like grudges. We like that. A lot of people do. It's easier to keep a grudge and to avoid people than to say, hey, I was wrong. Forgive me. Or, hey, they did something wrong to you. That's okay. I forgive you. Families are torn apart. You ever seen it? I have. There's a number of families in this congregation that are torn apart. My family's torn apart because they won't say these words to one another. Hey, it's okay, I forgive you because I love you. So, why do we got to forgive other people? It's a sin if you don't. You know, I'm not supposed to let you take communion if you, if I know that you're holding a grudge against somebody, you won't forgive somebody. I can stop you from having the Lord's Supper. Good pastors do that. Then we ask the Lord to lead us not into temptation. We ask you to do that, Lord. Lead us not into temptation. God tempts nobody. He doesn't do that. He doesn't test you. It says, God tempts no one. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. We are our own worst enemy. And the world doesn't help you, and then you got the devil on your back. So we ask and we beg and please, Lord. And why? So that we can be pure, clean, and holy, and go to heaven. And then we say one more petition. We ask Him for something in the Lord's Prayer. We ask Him to deliver us from evil. Now we just ask Him to lead us not into temptation. And now we're saying deliver us from evil. God knows it's going to happen. God knows you're going to be tempted. God knows that you're living in this world. God knows what goes on in this world. God knows you're not strong enough to avoid it. So we pray, but deliver us from evil. Why? So you can go to heaven. So you can be pure, clean, and holy. You notice what Jesus says here in this text, this gospel lesson that we have tonight? He says, I will do it. Ask Him. He will do it. Let's put it into context real quickly. A person is sick, okay? Happens all the time. We get sick. We've all been sick. We want to be well. We want to be good. We want to get better, and we want to lead an ordinary life. Well, the first problem there is that we want. Okay? But what does God want? God wants us to be well. God wants us well so that we can serve Him and we can serve our neighbor. What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's what Jesus said was the greatest commandment and the second. That's what God wants us to do. So you can't do that when you're sick. So God wants us to be well. Well, why are we sick? We're sick because of sin. That's why sin, and when sin entered the world, we began to get sick and we die. So we ask the Lord often to forgive us our trespasses because we're sinners. And the third reason that we want to get well, and the reason we pray to God, like we're going to in just a few moments, the list of people that we pray for regularly. Okay? We ask God because He's the one that made you. God created you. He knows all your inner workings. He knows your mind. He knows your thoughts. He knows what you do in private. He knows what you do in public. He knows every hair on your head. He knows how you work. He knows everything. Like Jesus said, He will do it. Because God knows we can. So when we pray, I think the prayers that I do are some good examples. But when you pray, pray with that understanding. Pray with what you've learned from the gospel time, that when we ask Jesus to do something, we believe in Him and we have faith, He will do it. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.